Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and as always, I will be your host for today's show. With me today is a very special guest. It is the author of How to Have a Great Life. It's Paul McGee. How are you today, Paul?
Miro, I'm absolutely great. I can't say the sun's shining, but my pulse is still beating, so I'll take that.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that we should take whatever we can get, considering we're going up to, I guess, October at this point. So a bit of sunshine is good. And of course, for our audience, Paul is one of the UK's leading speakers on the subject of change, workplace relationships and motivation. And we're very happy to have him here to talk about his new book. But before we get into the meat of that, Paul, I really want to ask you, what inspired you to become an author and start writing?
I think in many ways, you know, you could argue it was necessity. I like writing at school and everything, but I'd got a job as a graduate management trainee with a big multinational company, and I lost my job through ill health. I became ill with an illness called ME, myalgic encephalomyelitis, yuppie flu, or chronic fatigue syndrome. Didn't work for 3 years. When I felt well enough to maybe get back into the workplace, I couldn't get a job because no one had hired me because I couldn't pass a medical. So I started off as a self-employed trainer. And one of the things that I became very aware of was, you know, well, who's Paul McGee? Where's your credibility? And I just had an idea. I liked writing. I used to write letters to newspapers, often about football. And I thought, you know, if I had those two words to describe me, author of ... that could really help. So in many ways, it was quite a pragmatic decision, really, rather than, you know, a long-held dream. Although many years ago as a child, I had thought I'd one day write a book with the rather profound title of Death Won't Die. But the reality is it was less of a kind of inspirational dream and more of a practical necessity.
Absolutely, I see. And let's talk a bit about titles, because the title of the new book, How to Have a Great Life, is one that's very powerful. Can you perhaps tell us what is the idea behind it? How did you come up with something like this?
Well, I mean, I'm glad you like it in many ways, Myra, because I did. I thought there's at least another book in me, but I'd written books previously, you know, on how not to worry, self-confidence, how to speak so people really listen, which were very, you know, that's a specific topic. And I just thought, you know what, I like to read books sometimes that are more, you know, you've read a chapter in less than 5 minutes, and I thought, have I got something still to say to people? And I thought, if ever I had grandchildren, what kind of book would allow them to write? And this is my advice about life. So I had this phrase around snack size inspiration, and I wanted to do lots of short chapters. And do you know what? I actually started writing the book and I still didn't have a title. And I probably wrestled with about 20 or so titles. And in the end, we kind of went for, you know, what does it say on the tin? You know, it does what it says on the tin, How to Have a Great Life. But if I'm honest with you, Miro, I did still struggle because I thought, does that sound really arrogant of me? You know, who am I, Paul McGee, to say, oh, here's what you need to do to have a great life? Because, you know, if I was to look at my life and describe it in one word, the word would not be fairy tale. It would definitely be roller coaster. So I had to overcome some uncertainties, I guess, on whether it would come over as rather proud and arrogant that I'd felt I could write that book. But in the end, I did. And interestingly enough, a lot of my concerns about how people respond to the title was not even required at all, because people like you went, love the title. So, long-winded answer, I guess, but it wasn't a straightforward, arrival point of coming up with the title.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about the book, because there are 35 tips within the book, you could say, and that is a very interesting number. How did you go through the selection process, considering such big topic and so many things to consider? How did you manage to narrow it down?
When the book came out, and I've had various interviews with the media, and I thought, here's a question they're going to ask me. Why 35? And in fact, you're the first person who's ever asked me, why 35? And because I anticipated literally weeks and weeks ago this question would be asked, I thought, I come up with a clever answer that, you know, in some ancient Egyptian text, you know, the number 35 had some like magical powers and was seen as ... And you know what? It's so you know, mundane in comparison. I literally, the publisher wanted around about 40,000 words max, and we got to a point where I thought, you know what, I think roughly now 35 chapters is probably enough. I had a few other ideas for some other chapters, but I thought, you know what, if this book goes well, maybe there'll be a part two. So love to tell you there was some, you know, mythical, magical, mysterious reason for 35. There's absolutely none whatsoever.
Well, I think 35 is rather an underused number, so it does need some okay. recognition out there.
I'll take that, Myra.
I mean, considering, you know, everyone usually goes for, you know, your classic 7 and, you know, 3 and all of those. So I think 35 is a great number. But let's move on to the book, because here's where it gets really interesting, because if you take into consideration modern life and all of its hectic areas and everyday life has been changing rapidly for the last, well, since ever, really, how do we begin to cope with factors such as technology or time spent at the workplace? For those of our listeners who are, you know, bound to their desks, you know, they're working hard, how can they gain control?
I think one of the things is a mindset to begin with, because if you just say, I'm a victim and there's nothing I can do, then you're not looking for solutions. You're almost like passively saying, well, this is how life is. And, you know, that's it. This is my lot. You know, I have to work, you know, almost like be on call 24/7. I'm totally stressed. The traffic's this. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa here. There are challenges out there, absolutely. But first of all, you've got to see yourself as a survivor and then becoming a thriver, definitely not as a victim. I think it's also sometimes about just get off autopilot and just do some stopping, thinking and reflecting about what's really important to you, what's really a priority to you. And also, one of a question that I'll often ask myself is, you know, okay, how can I influence or improve the situation? So that is not, you know, how can I make this magically better? But if people have got a long commute, you know, well, you know, are there things you can do? Listen to a podcast, listen to an audio book, catch up on some reading. You know, don't just passively sit there moaning about your lot. Just think, okay, how can I make this a good experience? You know, technology. We're almost demonizing technology, and technology is amazing. It's just a tool. It's how you use it that's the real issue. And there are times very much now where I'm taking more and more of a break from technology. But, you know, apps and access to so many things via our phones particularly are wonderful things, and they can actually enhance our lives. So, yeah, life's tough. Life's a bit of a roller coaster, but it's going to be even more of a bumpy ride if you're seeing yourself as almost like a passive spectator in what's happening in your journey, rather than someone who's got the actual hands on the steering wheel.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, going back to the book, what really sticks out for me is, again, this approach of, you know, the tip structure and really giving you this guidance, where a lot of people will go out there and they will say, well, you know, I want to be happy, I want to be in this constant state of happiness and everything, and ignore the challenges of life. And I think, I mean, maybe it's just me, Paul, but it would be a bit weird if you were happy all the time. People will probably think there's something wrong with you.
Well, there would be. That, I think that's what the research would suggest. You're pretending to be happy all the time. Maybe there is something wrong with you. Maybe you're not actually in touch with reality at all. You know, and I don't think, you know, I don't think happiness and fulfillment and having a great life is the absence of things going wrong, because sometimes things will go wrong. You know, we've had some tragic news about a very close friend of ours recently. You know, reality rules, and life can be painful, but it's also about, okay, how do you navigate through all of that to find some general inner contentment and fulfillment? And I think, you know, there are so many, you know, I think a huge one that we've sometimes overlook is just the power and the importance of gratitude. You know, when you just said, how are you today? And I went, yeah, great. And I've got a pulse. But, you know, I literally meet some people and I ask you what's going well in your world at the moment. And they just look at me miserably and go, absolutely nothing. And then I go, well, actually, you've got a pulse. You know, if you woke up tired and miserable this morning, just remember this, you woke up. So there's just so much out there in life to be thankful and appreciative and grateful for. But I sometimes think we ignore that. And I think when we can become more mindful of, you know, the day-to-day miracles of life that we all take for granted, then that just puts us in a better position to deal with some of those undoubted challenges that we will all face.
Yeah, totally agreed. And there is a topic going around, and I think that's a very prevalent one, and I guess a lot of our listeners would have seen it, and that's the idea of having this authentic, great life. But of course, as we've just discussed, there are many barriers and many things we need to overcome. What do you think are the most common barriers we face towards achieving this authentic state?
I think, you know, I think arrogance can really undermine us at times, and when we feel that we sense that we know it all. And I think authenticity is about just taking an honest assessment of yourself, who you are and where you're at. You know, I read a lot around my particular topics, but you know, I think an authentic life can be undermined when I think I've arrived and I'm the expert. I think one of the chapters in the book is called Hang Out with Humility. And humility isn't about putting yourself down, but it's about keeping yourself grounded, always being a student, always somebody who wants to learn. And someone who also is at times prepared to say, you know what, maybe I got that wrong, or maybe I wasn't aware of all the full facts, or this is what I used to believe, like doctors used to believe smoking was okay for us. But as time's gone on, now I've actually changed my opinion. And that isn't me flip-flopping from one idea to another. It's having the humility to realise that, you know, life does change, life evolves, we change, we evolve. And I think rather than having that rather fixed view about how things are, and just overcoming that intellectual arrogance that I think sometimes people have when they'll dismiss other people's views and opinions, when they've only really, in my experience, sometimes made a mountain of assumptions based on a molehill of evidence. So I'll often say, you know what, stay hungry, stay humble, and maybe that will help to live you a more authentic life.
Yeah, agreed on that point. And to follow up, there is this idea, I suppose, and people often do assume this, that we need to be able to please everyone around us. But can we truly do that? Is that possible?
No. If you wanted a very short answer, you no. got it. You know, again, one of the chapters in the book is called You Won't Be Mates With Everyone. And, you know, just acknowledge that people are wired differently. They have different values, different life experiences, different life goals. And not everyone is part of your tribe. And I think when we can overcome that constant desire to please people, that will free us up. And that maybe, again, links into being a bit more authentic. I mean, again, one of the chapters is called The Foolproof Way to Avoid Criticism. And the foolproof way to avoid criticism is to do nothing, be nothing, and say nothing. So if that's the kind of life you want to lead, where you be, say, and do nothing, then maybe you won't upset people. But if you want to make a difference, and I always think that we're here not to win a popularity contest, but to make a difference, then the reality is you won't be mates with everyone.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, because there is this idea, and a lot of people often do think that they should try their best and get along and do be mates with everyone. Where do you think that's coming from? Why do people assume this?
Well, I think generally you do want to. You know, you don't want to be in a workplace, do you, where you've got people who you're not getting on with. So I think you do want to make an effort. Undoubtedly, you know, when I'm interacting with people, you know, I'm a conference speaker. When I get to that conference, you know, I want to be on good relationships with the organizer. I want the AV people to like me and everything go on there. So we need to make an effort on one level. But I think also we need to realize it's a bit like when I speak at those conferences, you know, you might have, I don't know, 200 or 300 people in the audience, and perhaps as many as 295 might go, that was absolutely fantastic. And 5 might really not like it. And I'm like, you know what? Reality rules. So it's a good starting principle and point to try and get on with people, because relationships, I think, are key to our success. And if you're upsetting people and annoying them, and, you know, to put it bluntly, pissing them off, then that is obviously going to impact your ability to do well in life. So it's a good starting point. But what I think you just need to appreciate is beyond those initial pleasantries and hopefully getting on okay, we just need to realise not everyone's going to be quite seeing the world the way we are. And you know what? That's okay.
Absolutely. A great message there. And to close off, Paul, I really want to ask you the question I ask any guest that comes on the podcast. And that's, what are you currently reading? Or do you perhaps have any recommendations for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading, and I'm rereading actually, there's a book by Tim Ferriss. He was the author of The 4-Hour Week, but he's written a book called Tribe of Mentors. And what I like about that is in many ways, it's very similar to my kind of approach in that you can read a chapter. He interviews all kinds of different people and poses some questions to them like you're doing to me. And you just get interesting insights from people. But again, you can just read one chapter in less than 5 minutes and it can give you some food for thought. So I'm reworking through that. And also because I'm very aware that I just consume, you know, self-help books and personal development books and books around neuroscience like they're about to be made illegal, which is great on one level, but sometimes it's like, you know, maybe tune into a different bandwidth.
Right, yeah.
So I've started to read some fiction recently and currently enjoying a book by the guy's name Sam Bourne called To Kill the President. So that's pure fiction, although when you read it, it does seem to have echoes of what's going on in the US at the moment in terms of the president and his behaviour in the book. It does remind you of a certain president in the US as well. So, yeah, that's what I'm currently reading.
Great, fantastic. And for our listeners, if that sounds interesting, there will be links in the description so you can go and you can check out those books. But with that, Paul, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Right, really enjoyed it as well, Myra. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And of course, for our listeners, if you enjoyed our conversations, please check out the links below where you can find out more about how to have a great life. And of course, Paul's other books as well. And you can reach out to us on social media at Lid Radio. And of course, you can reach out to Paul as well. And you can go and visit the website at www.thesumoguy.com. And once again, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us this week. It's always a pleasure to have our listeners tune in. And we very much look forward to seeing you next week.